As this realization took hold, the Seahawk, almost as if wishing to offer final proof, pitched and rolled. Nausea choked me. My head pounded. Weaker than ever, I turned around in search of support. For a fleeting but horrible second, I had the notion that I was alone on board. Then I realized that I was being watched with crude curiosity. Standing on the quarterdeck was a red-faced man whose slight stoop and powerful broad shoulders conspired to give the impression of perpetual suspicion, an effect heightened by dark, deep-set eyes partially obscured by craggy eyebrows. "Sir," I called weakly, "where are we?"
"We're coasting down the Irish Sea, Miss Doyle," replied the man, his voice raspy.
I shouldn't be here," I managed. But the man, seemingly indifferent to my words, only turned and, with a slab of a hand, reached for a bell set up at the head of the quarterdeck in a kind of gallows. He pulled the clapper three times. Even as I tried to keep myself from sinking to the deck, nine men suddenly appeared in the ship's waist, from above as well as below, fore as well as aft. All wore the distinctive sailor's garb of canvas breeches and shirts. A few had boots, while some had no shoes at all. One or two wore tar-covered hats, others caps of red cloth. Two had beards. One man had long hair and a ring in his left ear. Their faces were dark from sun and tar. They were, in all, as sorry a group of men as I had ever seen, glum in expression, defeated in posture, with no character in any eye save sullenness. They were like men recruited from the doormat of hell. I did recognize the sailor who had given me the warning the night before, but he paid no attention to me. And when I looked for the man who called himself Zachariah, I finally found him peering out from beneath the forecastle deck, no more concerned with me than the others. They were all looking elsewhere. I shifted to follow their gaze. The broad-shouldered man had been joined by another. Just to see him made my heart leap joyously with recognition and relief. From his fine coat, from his tall beaver hat, from his glossy black boots, from his clean, chiseled countenance, from the dignified way he carried himself, I knew at once, without having to be told, that this must be Captain Jaggery. And he, I saw it in a glance, was a gentleman. The kind of man I was used to. A man to be trusted. In short, a man to whom I could talk, and upon whom I could rely.